Good morning.
Good morning.
It is always a pleasure to be up here and to have the opportunity that the elders give me every week to share a portion of God's word with you. We are continuing looking at the Sermon on the Mount, so please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. On Wednesday, June 17th, 2015, a little after 7 o'clock p.m., 13 people were having a Bible study. One young man walked in carrying a fanny pack. Okay. He asked for the minister and sat next to him. He listened to the discussion to start with. At some point, he started disagreeing with what they were saying about the scriptures. Then he waited until they bowed their heads down in prayer. He reached into his fanny pack and pulled out a handgun. He shot and killed 9 people. This was the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. At the shooter's bond hearing, the survivors and the relatives of the victims spoke to him in tears and in anger, as you can imagine. They said that they were praying for him. They forgave him, and they urged him to repent, saying that hate would not win. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. In fact, it is perhaps one of the hardest things for us to do. It is very sobering to think that such evil and hate could exist in this world. It causes us to stop and to think about whether we could forgive something like that ourselves. Whether someone were to come in here on a Wednesday night, Sunday morning perhaps, Sunday evening, whenever we gather together, and do something similar to us. Forgiveness, however, is not an optional thing. It is a command. Remember the model prayer that we discussed last week. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those the debts of others. Forgive our debtors. We're going to look today at verses 14 and 15 specifically. We have 2 points that I'm going to look at: the benefits of forgiveness and the consequences of not forgiving. Let's look at this passage, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have, again, 2 points: the benefits of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, we read that if we forgive others, we will be forgiven. My first subpoint, as it were, for this section, the benefits of forgiveness: we will be more Christ-like. I'm not saying it's an easy thing to forgive. It certainly is not. And you may, honestly, I don't know if the people who said they forgave that shooter really did forgive him. But if they did, they're exhibiting an attitude of Christ. We can see in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he was dying. He looked out and he saw the people mocking him and jeering at him, ridiculing him, the people who put him physically on that cross. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we forgive people like that, we will be more Christ-like. Our goal and our attitude and conduct should be to be like Christ, to be a Christian, right? A Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, that whole little passage of scripture there talks about that we have an example of suffering in Christ, that we should follow his example when he was suffering on the cross. Because there was no deceit, there was no guile found in his mouth. He did not, in all the things that he did not sin. We should have him. He is our example when we are in suffering. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he says, we should follow his steps. He was suffering so terribly on that cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Stephen, a little while later, in Acts chapter 7, followed Christ's example as they were killing him, as they were stoning him, putting him to death for preaching Christ. He said, do not lay this sin on their charge. He said, don't hold this against them. He said, to forgive these people, even though they're killing me, even though they're hurting me. Forgiveness. If we do that, we will be more Christ-like, following his example. We will also be at peace internally and possibly even externally. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, children of God. The oft quoted Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 in this series of lessons. If at all possible, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Forgiveness helps us to live at peace. Remember, blessed are the peacemakers. Forgiveness, if we want to forgive somebody, it will help us with the forgiveness with the peace that we ought to have, both internally and again, possibly externally. Paul wrote that we should live peaceably with all men. And we can't do that unless we forgive them of the things that they've done wrong. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, our sins will be forgiven. Paul tells Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. Let's turn there. This is a wonderful passage that talks about the love of Christ and why we should forgive others. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. He's talking about the fact that many people there were suing each other in the church. People in the church were suing. They were going to court, having a pagan judge decide on their matters, on the disputes that were among them. Now, whenever two people get together, you're going to have disputes, aren't you? Even among married people, you're going to have arguments. You're going to have disputes. Well, that's what was happening here to the church in Corinth. They were having disputes and they were going to these pagan judges. And Paul says, now therefore it is already an utter failure, an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. It is a failure that you do that. Why do you not rather accept wrong? It's better for me to be wronged and allow myself to be wronged than to go to court with somebody else and to get my pound of flesh? Yes. It is better for you to be wronged. Why? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Verse 8. No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yes, you might have been wronged in some way, enough to feel like you deserve a particular level of justice by going to a court. In our justice system, we would possibly take someone to civil court over such matters. But Paul writes here saying, don't do that. That's an utter failure among your part. Even if you can't find someone who is willing to judge a particular matter in the church. He says a little earlier, you have men in the church there who are wise. Why not use them to judge a matter between you and accept their judgments? Well, yes. But what if it doesn't go your way? Well, I can take them to court and try that. Utter failure. Utter failure. Why not accept the wrong? Now, I recognize that most of us realize that we shouldn't take one another to court. But we still often will feel animosity towards someone who we think has wronged us. And whatever the case, in this particular situation, let yourself be wronged. What does it matter? What's more important in the grand scheme of things? Your pound of flesh, your little bit of money that you might get from that, or the relationship with the person who is a member of the Lord's body? What's more important? That connection that you have with your fellow Christian, or that little bit of money that you might get from that civil case? What's more important? And that's the case with anything. What's more important? Holding that grudge against somebody, nursing it until maybe you have an opportunity to let it out, or to forgive that person? And we should forgive them. Why? Because the Lord has forgiven us, and such were some of you, he says in verse 11. You've done all these things. Many of them had fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality. These people were guilty of all manner of sins there in Corinth. And yet the Lord had forgiven them. They were washed. They were sanctified. They were justified. Their sins had been forgiven. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9 gives us a little clue as to how our sins affect God. In that particular passage, Joseph is saying, how can I have relations with you, this man's wife, Potiphar's wife? How can I do this and sin against God? He didn't say sin against his master, Potiphar. He said to sin against God. All these sins that we commit are sins against God, even before they're sins against one another. We recognize our own forgiveness. At least I hope we do. If we're a child of God, we recognize that our sins have been forgiven. And if he can forgive us, can't we forgive other people? Jesus actually has a parable on that in Matthew chapter 18. Let's turn there as well. Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to him in verse 21, Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Do you think that Peter thought he was doing really well? Seven times? Yeah, back in the day, the rabbi said, well, you can forgive them three times. That's the limit. And you'll be pleasing to God. If you forgive them three times, that'll be fine. Man, seven times? Boy, that's twice plus one of what the rabbis say of the time. Well, Jesus said to him in verse 22, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Well, okay, let's write that up on the board here. 70 times seven, okay, 490. We should forgive people 490 times. And then after that, that's it. No, of course not. After about 10, 15, 20, you probably lose track, unless you're actually keeping a tally, and then that's not what you're supposed to do. Love keeps no record of wrongs. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 and 5. We should not keep that kind of record, because if we do, that doesn't show love to our brother or sister in Christ. What he's saying is, forgive them anytime, every time. And he gives this parable to show why. In verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. You might not realize how much 10,000 talents is, but it was more than even the cost of building Solomon's temple. It was an insurmountable debt that could not be paid. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. And that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That was just a couple $100 for us. That isn't a lot. One could easily pay that back given enough time. Who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. We see quite a bit had gone on in this particular parable. We see that his master had forgiven him this insurmountable debt. He begged him. And then a little bit later, his fellow servant or his fellow servant owed him just a little bit of money. He said the same thing. Give me a little bit of patience and I will pay it back to you. But he said, no, I want it right now. He was angry with him. He wasn't going to give him any leeway at all. Now, are we like that sometimes? Are we like that? Do we accept forgiveness from God? Do we say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I've been forgiven of my sins, but you have done the worst possible thing to me ever, and you need to pay? Most of us aren't going to have an experience, at least I pray that we don't have an experience like the illustration at the very beginning with the church in Charleston. But for most of us, the things that people have done against us, often they're hardly worth it. They're hardly worth it. They're worth 100 denarii compared to the 10,000 talents we owe our Lord. What is that song? We owe a debt we could not pay. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. We can't possibly repay him for the wrong that we have done. But he's forgiven us. So, because we've received that,
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If I receive that mercy from God, should I not also extend it to others, forgiving them of their wrong? Here's how we can do that. I got these particular points from this parable from Dan Winkler. If you're familiar with him, I want to give him credit on that. He had 3 points from this parable. First, to be more forgiving, we need patience. We need patience. He says, the servant asks for patience in verse 26. Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The other servant asked his fellow servant, have patience with me, and I will pay you all, down in verse 29. We need patience to deal with people. Now, is patience easy? For some of us, maybe. Not for most of us. Patience, another way of expressing that, is to be slow to anger. To be slow to anger. Don't allow yourself to be swallowed up by the anger that you might feel toward a particular person you feel has done you wrong. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11, the writer says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. Discretion, prudence, wisdom of a man makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. Don't allow ourselves to be wronged. Allow ourselves to not feel angry over wrong. Be patient with people. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. We've got to understand people, understand where they're coming from. Because sometimes they might not realize what they've done has hurt us. And so we've got to recognize their point of view very often. Again, sometimes some points of view are horrible and hateful. But for most of us, that's not the case. For most of us, especially a brother or sister in Christ, we need to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Have that understanding. Be slow to wrath. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. If we are slow to anger, then we are going to keep the contention. We're going to keep any kind of argumentation and things like that to a minimum. And that will help us in forgiving others. Have patience. Do not be so quick to anger. The second thing that we get from this passage, to be more forgiving, we need compassion. We need compassion. It says in verse 27, then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. We need to show empathy for one another. Recognize that people typically, again, don't intend you harm. And so make sure that you talk with that person. Make sure that you understand where they're coming from and try to empathize with their position. Again, most people don't intend harm. Some do. Make sure you understand the difference. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. If we maintain our compassion for one another, if we are tenderhearted, if we are courteous to one another, we won't return evil for evil. Will receive that blessing, inherit that blessing. The third thing, to be more forgiving, we need to be merciful. In verse 33, Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity? Some translations say mercy on you. We need to have mercy. We need to have pity on others. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That will help us to be more forgiving. Patience, compassion, and mercy. Let us develop those traits within ourselves, and then it will be easier to forgive those who have wronged us. Next, and finally, we'll look at the consequences of not forgiving. Recall, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, he says that if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I won't forgive you your trespasses. We talked about this in our Sunday morning class several weeks ago, perhaps months ago, about 2 Samuel chapter 13. If you're not familiar with that, we see a passage where a terrible violation had occurred. We see that Amnon had violated his half-sister Tamar. That's not something that's easy to get over, is it? That's not something that's easy to forgive. And in fact, Tamar's full brother, Absalom, was so angry that the hatred that he had consumed him. He let it fester for years, for 2 years before he did anything about that. For 2 full years, he let his anger dwell within him, and he focused on that and hardly anything else. Maybe he tried to do something else. Maybe he was just looking for an opportunity to get back at his brother. But what we see at the end of 2 years, that when that time came, he killed his brother. Absalom killed his brother Amnon, who had hurt his sister. Hatred consumed him. And then Absalom fled because he knew his father would be upset with him. And he was. David was upset with him. Hatred consumed Absalom, and it can consume us. If we let that anger and that lack of forgiveness, if we let that fester within us, it can consume us and overwhelm us to the point where we hardly think of anything else. Brothers and sisters, that shouldn't be the case. That should not be the case. It will consume us, or it has the potential to consume us. Also, we will be tempted to sin by taking vengeance on someone. Just as Absalom took vengeance on his brother, sinning by doing so. We can have that possibility of taking vengeance and sinning ourselves. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Do not avenge yourselves. Don't take vengeance on anyone else for your own sake, but rather give place to wrath. Allow yourself to feel anger, but that's it. Don't go much further than that. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The one who should feel that wrath and anger is our Lord. When reading the Psalms, one of the things we might notice is what's called the imprecatory Psalms. We notice that David is not asking that he have the opportunity to take vengeance on people. He's asking the Lord to take vengeance upon people who are against him. And that is okay to do. If we are wanting if we've been wronged in some way, wronged in such a terrible way, we can pray to the Lord that justice be done. But should we take that justice into our own hands? No, certainly not. We need to do what we can to forgive such people. Forgive those who have wronged us. Allow the Lord, give place to wrath. Allow the Lord to take vengeance on those who have wronged you, if he deems it necessary. Recall, you are not the judge, jury, and executioner. That job belongs to our Lord. In a few weeks, we'll look at the beginning of chapter 7, recognizing that our judge is not each other. Our ultimate judge is our Lord. Let us recognize that. Paul tells us that vengeance belongs to God, to nobody else. We should not take vengeance on our enemies, but we should be kind to them. Continuing on in Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To help us forgive others, we've got to show them compassion. Do good for them. Just as we talked about a few weeks ago, by doing good to our enemies. And that will help us to forgive our enemies. Finally, our sins will be forgiven. You see, if we do these good things for our enemies, perhaps one day they can be our friends. Perhaps one day we can show our example of Christ to them. Again, maybe not. But that should be our goal wherever we go. And as a result, our own sins will be forgiven. Recall in that parable in Matthew chapter 28, verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. See, we're never going to pay that back. There's no way we can pay that back. And so what penalty we have for not forgiving other people is unthinkable. Our sins will not be forgiven. If we cannot forgive here on earth, can we expect forgiveness in heaven? No, we cannot. We often talk about the plan of salvation and the five things we've got to do to be saved. Well, among those things is repentance. And repentance includes forgiving other people. Again, not an easy thing to do. That is completely understandable. However, we've got to work hard to make sure that our forgiveness, that we can forgive others, because we want to be forgiven. At least I hope you do. I certainly do. And I do my best to forgive those who I believe have wronged me. That includes holding grudges against others. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you want to have mercy, show mercy to other people. This morning, I pray that we see the importance of forgiving those who have wronged us. I pray we see the importance of that. Our souls depend on our willingness to do this most difficult task. It is something that's very difficult for us to do, to forgive other people. But our souls, the eternal soul depends on that. Where we spend eternity depends on our forgiveness of others. So let us strive to forgive others so that God will forgive us. But in order to truly forgive us, in order to have our sins washed away to begin with, we've got to become a Christian. We must become a Christian first in order for our sins to be washed away. How do we become a Christian? How can we have those sins taken care of? Well, the Bible is very clear. We talked about the plan of salvation a little while ago. Those are the things that we talk about. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and then remain faithful. Remember, we've got to hear the word, and by faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order to get faith, we've got to be able to hear the word of God. Then we've got to believe it. If we just pass it by, let it go on, and don't believe the word of God, our souls are forfeit. And then we've got to repent. Again, the hardest thing to do. And for many of us, it is a lifetime. In fact, for all of us, I should say. Even Paul himself, he says, I die daily. A hint that he was repenting daily for the things that he did. For the things that we do, we ought to die daily. Repent every day. Again, the hardest thing we spend the rest of our lives doing. We've got to confess the name of Christ. We've got to spend our lives doing that too. Letting others know that we believe in Jesus. And then we've got to be baptized. We've got to wash away our sins in the watery grave of baptism. That's how our sins are taken care of. That's how we come into contact with the blood of Christ. To have our sins washed away in that watery grave. And then live faithfully. Continuing to die daily, continuing to share your faith with others, continuing to believe on him, continuing to forgive those who have sinned against you. That's how you can have forgiveness of sins. And I pray you forgive others so that your sins can be washed away, so that your sins can continue to be washed away. This morning you have a chance to make things right with God if you need to. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.